everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 127. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
Now, I've had a spectacularly crappy day because my POS system decided to crap out about 3:30 on Wednesday, which makes for, a lot
of
fun.
Point of sale POS.
Yes,
POS,
correct. My point of sale
today
system.
Today it is a POS system.
Today I'm not real fond of it. And also, I'm leaving for a week's vacation on Saturday, so this really isn't something that I was hoping to have to deal with as well as everything else.
There's a bright side to this.
Yes.
Well, it could have happened while you were on vacation.
True. Good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. So
now everybody feels a lot better.
There. Yeah, I feel great.
Not to say that it can't already happen again on the day you're off, but
you're not helping.
I helped, and then I was just like...
That's right. You took it too far.
So I am woefully unprepared for today. So luckily, Pat and Dave seem to have some ideas. So I did read some books, but we'll get to that later. But number 127, since we're going back to that the theme issues, since and luckily it's one that's not Spider-Man or X-Men. Dave had a pretty good one. Pat had a weird one that I need to verify.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
No, go. Okay, Dave, go ahead.
Marvel Team-Up 127, Christmas issue, team-up with Spider-Man and The Watcher.
There you go.
But he's dead. He doesn't have eyes.
He wasn't dead. And
it was a Christmas story. He wanted the Red Ryder BB gun. He got shot inside his eye out.
Eyes gone.
Yep.
So a Watcher without eyes? I mean, what is that? Come on.
Good point, good point.
What about you, Pat?
Well, I found Batman 127, where Batman fights Thor. But it's not Marvel Thor, it's Thor Thor.
Oh, well.
Because it hurts.
He's Thor.
Like the movie Aladdin.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bums.
Yep. That was pretty good.
Yep.
Not really.
That's why we keep Adam around.
That's the only reason we keep Adam around. We might be able to lose him.
There's a lot of reasons to keep Adam around. We just don't know.
I'm waiting for you to start listing. Okay. So, Pat, you had some news items?
Yeah. The first one was DC seems to have found their Aquaman.
Did they lose him?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, for the Batman versus Superman and Justice League movies.
Aquaman was missing. He's now found.
Yep. He was found at the bottom of the sea. Sleeps with the fishes.
He was sleeping with the fishes.
But Jason Momoa, who I guess is in Game of Thrones and was Conan in the last Conan.
That was rumored for a while, though, that that's what they were going to do. So this is confirmed?
It apparently was confirmed by multiple sources, including some of the Hollywood trades. So they pretty confident that it might be true.
Huh.
Which, and you know, what I read was essentially, you know, he's going to be a little pissed off on the World Engine in the middle of the Indian Ocean, kind of changing gravity and...
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that might have been a bridge too far.
He's going to be in Batman versus Superman?
My guess is it'll be a cameo in there.
I'm really thrown by all these cameos. Like, what in the world is going to happen in this movie that he's going to end up in the middle of the ocean to meet Aquaman and... He's going to end up on the mascara to meet Wonder Woman.
Well, but he doesn't have... That's just it. He doesn't have to do any of that.
And it just seems like all these cameos are just going to be, like, out of place. I don't know.
But you can do some of that. Like, you know, there can be news footage, you know, just on in the background. You know, so there's a green streak of light across, you know, and they talk about something happening in Coast City. Or, you know, a red blur and something's happening.
But that much, then you could just mention it. Like, it could be on the bottom of the screen. Wonder Woman does something, you know?
Well...
But to actually have them that they're announcing, like, actors. Like, that's like if they announced the actor who played Thanos and he was only going to be at the end of the Avengers movie. And then he was just... That's all it was that computer animated scene.
Oh, well,
like,
they kind of did that.
And he didn't say
anything. Well, they announced that it's going to be Josh Brolin.
It was later on they announced.
Right, but they announced it 2 months before the movie's coming out, so he can't have that much of a part.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that in this case, like, if you're just going to announce, just have this small little tidbit in the background, why announce an actor who's going to be...
Well, I think a lot of these are just... Going to be little appearances, and then
Justice
but they want to. They need
but that's
to.
Going to where I'm, where
but they're
I'm
announcing
saying.
The actor.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. But the whole thing about it is, what is happening in this movie that we're going to see all of these characters all in one cameo?
Well,
like the cameos. Unless they're all going to be in one cameo.
Well, not necessarily. But, you know, here's the thing. Take what happened at the end of Men of Steel. And, you know, you had the world engine was destroying things. And really, you know, now you have the emergence of aliens or metahumans or however they're going to deal with that piece of it. So that brings Batman, kind of the vigilante who has no powers, which works great, out of retirement. He becomes a detective to try to find out, is this legit, is it not, you know, what happens there. You know, they can use Diana essentially as an ambassador type role where, you know, based on what happens, they kind of come out of hiding and say, hey, we're here too.
Yeah.
You know, something to that effect. Aquaman can do something similar, you know, say, hey, you know, look, I'm from Atlantis. Your problem, you know, the land's problem became my problem, and,
yeah.
and now I'm interjecting. And it doesn't, you know, it could just be, you know, a news conference or something like that, you know, in the background. It doesn't actually have to be a scene with Batman.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, something about it's kind of funny. It just seems kind of like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because I haven't seen anything about it yet or anything, but, like, all we know is this. But it almost reminds me of, like, watching The Wizard of Oz or something, and she walks down the Yellow Brick Road, and she just keeps meeting people. Like, Superman's going to be on this path, and all of a sudden he meets Wonder Woman, and then he meets...
we're off to see the Batman.
Sounds like we're getting some idea about the theme of the movie, too, with Batman being mad at Superman, and now Aquaman's is mad.
Everybody's
mad at Superman for some reason.
It's kind of like the movie. Everybody was mad about Superman.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't, but, you know, everybody else was.
But
he broke that guy's neck, you know? And Batman's just not happy about it, you know?
Well, but that kind of rolls into
his back broke once,
into the second thing, though. Which is why I think they partially announced this, was the release of an assumed list of 7 movies that DC is going to come out with in the next couple years. And the Justice League movie is May of 2017, with the Batman and Superman movie coming out in May of 2016. It seems...
Doesn't Marvel own May?
Not if the Justice League movie comes out, I don't think.
Yeah.
But, you know, with that... Theoretically, they're going to have to start filming as soon as they're done filming the Batman movie.
When is the date on that?
Justice League, May 2017.
Okay, when's the date on the next Avengers movie?
The next Avengers movie is May 2015.
Oh, I was going to say, could you imagine if both of those were on the same summer? That'd be crazy.
Well, the list of supposedly anyway... has a Shazam movie coming out in July of 2016, which that, I don't know. I mean, they're certainly using him more in...
I'd like to see it.
...in the new 52, but I, as being a child of the late 70s, early 80s, I remember the cheesy Shazam TV show.
Oh, that's interesting. The last movie on the list.
Oh, okay. If it's the same one that I have... Sandman in December of 2016, which doesn't seem to fit in with the rest of what they're doing.
That's what
that would be separate anyway. That's Vertigo.
Yeah.
He's really going to be mad at Superman.
Yes.
Shazam might do that as well, unless they really do tie it in, because they have been doing that with the new 52. It could stand alone by itself as its own movie and still do something like it. I'd find that one more.
Yeah, I mean, Shazam didn't actually come into contact with Justice League until...
Yeah.
What, Trinity War?
I think you can really sell that movie to the movie audiences. I really do. If they do it right, I think they can do it. Because, I mean, it is a child.
Yeah.
Well, you know? Hopefully they do it with a child's point of view, I think.
Yeah, that's how they have to do it. It'd have to be a kid who... And they've done that with the animated stuff. Like, the animated... I don't know if any of you have seen the short, like, DC animated feature of Shazam and... Shazam versus Black Adam or something.
Yeah, I did.
Superman.
Yeah.
And I was like, they did a pretty good Billy Batson, like, in that. He was more modernized. Not like the New 52 one, who's kind of a little jerk.
Yeah.
But, like, this one was, he was a, he was a good little kid, but he's kind of a, he's an orphan, and kind of goes, he's street smart though, and just he's a I don't know, they had it right there, so I think they have a lot of potential with that.
Yeah. Justice League, May 2017. Wonder Woman in July of 2017.
A Wonder Woman movie? They can't do that.
Women can't.
Does it have a talking raccoon in it?
Yeah. Well, but the interesting thing about that is it's a Wonder Woman movie 3 months after a Justice League movie. So that would have to be filmed back-to-back. And then in December of 2017, a supposed Flash Green Lantern team-up.
Flash Green or Lantern team-up. That's what I heard about it. It seems really weird.
They're friends.
Yeah, they're good friends. That was always a thing going on back to the Silver Age.
Do you think that they'll do the, being that they have a TV show already planned, do you think they'll use?
Well, yeah. That's what I would hope. You know, it's one thing.
It seems really odd that they want.
Marvel has a problem with Quicksilver because you have two different companies that own the property. DC doesn't have that, so if they have two different actors playing it,
and Fox just dropped the mic on the Avengers for that one.
They really did.
Yeah, and yeah, they definitely laid down the gauntlet on that one. But I can't see DC doing that because I think it's a mistake, and I think that people will complain about that unless they say if they use Wally West as the Flash and then use Barry Allen as the Flash on the TV show.
I think where a lot of that's come from was Stephen Amell saying that he has not been offered the movie role of Green Arrow yet, but it could also just be a case of they're not using him yet. Wait till the Justice League movie. He's not going to be in Batman Superman, but he might be in the Justice League movie that they haven't started on.
Well,
he's
never been like front and center at the beginning of Justice League. Like it's always taken a while to get to him as being part of it. So I don't know. I think it would be smart. I think if they tied it together, that way you're not wasting any time. Like Marvel didn't have a TV show out, and now they do because of the movies. Now you already have a TV show out that's successful, and you're going to have these movies. Might as well tie them together.
Together.
I don't think it'll hurt.
Yeah. And then May 2018, a Man of Steel sequel.
That's what I'm thinking, because everybody was expecting Batman versus Superman to be
the Man of Steel
sequel. So seeing that they do have a Man of Steel 2 planned, so this isn't necessarily that movie that people were expecting.
But there's two things on there that are curious. One is there's no pure Batman movie on there.
Yeah.
Which seems a little strange.
Well, they're obviously killing him in Batman versus Superman.
And that's what I'm guessing.
Is he the original Earth 2 Batman?
Yeah, they're going to replace him with Damian. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, or Nightwing.
But they don't want to give away Damian's son of Batman.
Or he'll be, what's his name from the movie? The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, yeah. Robin.
Batman.
Timmy? What?
Yeah.
Not that Robin.
But the other thing that seems strange is it essentially puts DC in a mode where they're pumping out 3 movies a year.
Yeah.
Marvel can't do that. I mean,
well, they are.
Well,
we got Cap, X. Well, Marvel.
No, can. Marvel can't.
Right.
And you know, it's Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers as a studio also has other movies that they're going to want to put out. I think they have 3 Harry Potter sequels that are supposed to be coming out, or pseudo Harry Potter sequels, and you know they have some other properties. So it seems strange that they would want 3 DC movies out in rapid succession.
Because it's a cash crop right now.
Well, it is, but you know we haven't had a flop yet, but Ant-Man could be that flop, and if that happens, I mean,
well,
I don't think Justice League will be that flop. I don't think Batman will be that flop. But
I think what's going to happen, it might not flop Ant-Man. The thing about it is, what I think could happen, it could flop while it's in theaters, but I don't think it's going to not get people. The only thing that would prevent it from getting people to come and see it is that if Guardians of the Galaxy is not accepted as well. Because if a Guardians of the Galaxy is not accepted, like, they go and see it. People go and see it, and they're just like, this was crap. You know? Then they're gonna say, Ant-Man's coming out. Yeah, I don't want to see that. Guardians of the Galaxy was crap. You know? And they might not get to see it. I think that's kind of... Now, if Guardians of the Galaxy, they go and say, wow, that was a really good movie, and they say, well, let's go see Ant-Man, shot. See what it's like. Now, Ant-Man might, they might go see Ant-Man and be like, wow, this was garbage. But they went to go see it, they already put their money into it, so it already did enough.
Yeah, and, kind of, and the follow-ups for Ant-Man are, you know, an Avengers movie, a Cap movie, a Thor movie, and...
Yeah, exactly. Right, so like, what's after that? Avengers.
Yeah.
You know? So, are people not going to go see Avengers because they didn't like Ant-Man? Probably not.
Yeah.
So that's... Really, it all, I think, lays on the shoulders of Guardians of the Galaxy.
And, you know, I've heard some early kind of preview stuff on that, and... People are liking what they're seeing. Now, it's not finished, obviously, and it's still got a couple months out. And, you know, and I was just in the store the other day. We're 45 days from release, and there's still no toys.
Yeah.
That seems a little strange.
That does seem. Especially for a thing that they're really trying to market to kids as well.
Yeah.
Like the Rocket Raccoon comic book.
Yeah, Rocket and Groot are two very...
There's not a bunch of Rocket Raccoon, like, stuffed animals all over the place, And a Groot Chia Pets, and, you know.
Yeah.
What?
Come on, Colin. You'd be the talking first person that, to buy a Groot Chia Pet.
I don't remember if we talked about this last week. If we did, I greatly apologize. But I got into a little discussion with Joe here about the
Joe
Rocket...
F.
Joe F. About the Rocket Raccoon book and how he was like, you know, they're already saying it's sold 300,000 copies... You know, has orders for 300,000 copies, and I got very confused by that because, one, it just that's a ridiculous number for comics. I mean, it's a great number.
ASM was 500,
and my point that I was making to Joe, and I also took this over to the Comic Beat website because they had an article where a retailer said, you know, this is so great for comics, and da da da. And I just responded going, not really, because if Guardians of the Galaxy is only selling 50,000 copies per the sales charts, what is compelling retailers to order six times their Guardians of the Galaxy number?
Yeah.
And that was the point I was trying to make. Everybody's like, oh, you know, well, the movie's going to be great. I said, but six times?
Yeah.
Maybe double. But who's going to order six times that number? Based on the movie being good. And also, my problem with the book is, if you saw the Free Comic Book Day version, that was a preview of it.
Yeah.
But it basically looks like a kid's book.
Yeah.
What's Rocket Raccoon's catchphrase?
I murdered you.
Exactly. Not exactly fitting in a kid's book. So I'm like, so the problem is, let's say you love Rocket Raccoon. He's the greatest character. You pick up this book, you're going to open it up and go,
I murdered you.
Well, it's not going to say that.
Give me that little belly.
Yeah. But they're going to look at it and go, oh, this is a kid's book, and they're going to put it back.
It's exactly the Free Comic Book.
I don't know if it's exactly, but.
Because that was a kid's book. That was definitely a kid's book.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just like, I'm hemming and hawing on this book going, I don't know. And that I'm supposed to order, for me, it would have been 300 copies.
Well, is it a deal where, like, if you order
600%
of what you ordered of some Guardians of the Galaxy book, Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper show up to your store?
Right. Well, that was the point I was making on the beat, basically saying there are none of these incentives.
What was that?
Sorry about that. There were none of those incentives to make you go crazy. And the guy you responded back on, see, these are truer numbers. I'm like, but they're insane numbers. What stores are doing this? And I felt like asking him outright, did you order six times?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm guessing his answer would have been no. Well, it turns out this company called Loot Crate ordered either between 150 or 200,000 of those copies, because they apparently are some like gaming or something where you sign up and you get a monthly box, and they're going to put one in each box.
It's like a magazine subscription. You know, mail it to you, and you get this box of like random stuff.
So it's not actually 300,000. Order.
Well, it technically is, because they convinced them to get a diamond account so that it would reflect on the sales charts, but also they're getting them at a highly discounted rate.
So
they're not paying anywhere.
They pulled a Marvel on the sales numbers.
Well, Marvel pulled a Marvel on the sales numbers. But,
that's why it's called pulling a Marvel.
And so I was kind of like,
Marvel pulled a Marvel.
Well, that's, you know, okay, now these numbers make more sense. Yeah. I can see 100,000 copies. I don't see 300,000 copies.
The book, like the Free Comic Book Day book, reminded me of Sonic the Hedgehog, like the old Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
comic.
It just I mean,
a bunch
while
of
it's all ages and
doing stuff, and they weren't.
I just don't see it appealing to anybody that likes the movie or likes
or
the book.
The book.
It might appeal to someone who likes a raccoon.
I thought it would be like Rocket Raccoon. Like, I thought, like, in the, I thought it was the Infinite comic, the one that's the download digitally and it moves and whatnot. They had something, some story about him, and he was, like, somebody was following him. It turned out to be another, like, raccoon-like character or something. And, like, I thought that they would have had a Rocket Raccoon book, and they would have had something about his story, like, mm-hmm. something that was going on just with him. And
well, just don't call him a raccoon.
He is a raccoon.
Yeah.
No, he's not, apparently.
The movies, by the way, they also, I don't know if they mentioned that last week when we talked about that, but they had a Lex Luthor logo, a Lex Corporal.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was funny because it didn't really match the one that they used in the Superman movie when they had it, but it was really quick. It was like a truck or something in Metropolis.
Yeah, it was on an
It wasn't that
truck.
Logo, but
in
it's
what
like,
movie?
Huh? Man of Steel.
Man of Steel.
Oh, okay. But you're saying it didn't match that Man of Steel. What are you talking about right now?
The new one.
The
new one where?
LexCorp logo.
Where?
For, Batman vs. Superman.
Thank you. Okay,
really
for Batman
vs.
Superman.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where did you see that?
The brand
new
one that they're using for this stuff.
And, I mean, the weird thing about that is they were talking about it's more like a startup type company. It's unless that's supposed to be a flashback. And that, because I guess the kid that's playing him is keeping his hair. So...
Which makes sense, because originally in the comic books, Lex Luthor had hair, but it was something to do... Like, it was Superman's fault that he lost his hair.
Right, yeah, that's why he...
and that's why he swore revenge on Superman.
Yeah,
just like, you have
Wait,
hair.
Who could I blame?
Superman!
You have through hair, Superman! Yeah, I had, what did he had red hair.
Yeah, he did.
I wonder if they'll let, they'll have, what's his name? Well, who's the actor? I forget his name.
Jesse Eisenberg?
Eisenberg,
yeah.
I wonder if they'll dye his hair red.
Heisenberg, what?
Heisenberg.
Yeah, Heisenberg.
Excellent.
The one who knocks.
Tread lightly.
Oh, I need to rewatch.
I looked at the LexCorp logo they're going to use. It's really weird because they're emphasizing on the X.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, nobody's going to emphasize on the X like a LexCorp.
X marks the spot.
I guess if they were pirates.
And you know what his you know what his employees are going to be called?
What?
X-Men.
X-Men.
And Marvel will kind of be like, okay, we'll go with it.
He's like, but your bald guy can't have X-Men, too. That's our bald guy's thing.
And then Fox is going, but.
Nope, sorry.
And they're like, give us Quicksilver. He's ours.
We want the Flash.
Yeah. Okay, so the next kind of bit of movie news was Spider-Man 3 got bumped to 2017.
I can live with that.
That's
2020, 2025, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
The year 3000, whatever.
Although the only thing is, how old is Andrew Garfield going to be, you know?
He'll be around his 50s by then.
Yeah, by 2017. He no. ages at a rate 8 times every one.
He's like the guy off of that Robin Williams movie, that Jack
where he river, yeah. You didn't know that. He's actually only 6 years old now.
Yeah.
that's
enough, yeah.
But speaking of old guys,
Colin just came back.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going
to... You were thinking it.
Kind of.
Do I have to get out Lucille too?
You don't even have that here.
Damn it.
Han Solo got hurt.
Oh. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Harrison Ford.
I did like the sign that he had, the picture with him holding the sign. Did you see it?
Uh-uh.
It says, it can make the Kessel run in 12 parsecs, but can't use a door.
Yeah, hydraulic door apparently fell on his foot and either broke it or sprained it, and he's out for 8 weeks.
I feel like we should call hazmat. Maybe containment breach. Just scared everybody listening.
Yeah,
I
was saying, people that can't
see.
They're
like, oh my god, what is happening there? Yeah. This...
Some girl was very upset about
this. Colin Zombie Salon. It's very upsetting.
I'm sorry.
But it's not supposed to change the release date of the movie
film
at all.
Around him. Yeah.
Which...
Lots of sitting.
Yeah. All right, you're going to sit down for all your scenes, Harrison.
Maybe he's in... Maybe in this, he's in a wheelchair. He's in one of those floating wheelchair things, like...
He's bald and has a bunch of guys.
Not Uncle Owen, but Uncle Owen's father.
Chewie will just carry him through.
Chewie will carry him through the whole movie. And I'm sure that guy cannot carry anybody anymore.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me a lot of the guy that played Jaws in,
But he's a big guy.
Yeah, he can't walk very well.
Yeah.
No,
I think he just, I could have sworn he just recently, like, I could be wrong about that, but I thought he had, like, surgery or something, because of something like that. That might be thinking about somebody else, but,
I see how you could confuse Chewbacca with a lot of people.
No, I just, I, for some reason I thought because, you know, people sometimes that are really tall after a while, they get different back problems and leg problems and stuff like that, that I thought that might have been the case, but I could be wrong on that.
And then two bits of comic news that I read was...
Two bits.
Yeah. Ultimate FF was canceled after issue 6.
It's still out?
Yes. But after the Galactopus issue, it's no more.
Here's the question. Why do they keep canceling Ultimates and then bringing it back?
Well, but I think...
If it's not working, then put a bullet in it already. You know what I mean? Like, end it.
But is this related
to Bendis really wants it to happen.
We're just getting rid of the Fantastic Four.
So who cares what Bendis... What does Bendis
have
on somebody?
Well, I don't know if
it's
necessarily that, but since they're... In the solicit that's showing Miles Morales is going to be in the all-new X-Men, are they just getting rid of Ultimate and moving his character over?
That's what it feels like.
Well, I would think he'd be around for the Spider-Man thing whenever... That's, what, in July?
But in the sales, from the sales angle on my end, it's dead. They relaunch it, but it doesn't get any new people. And it just keeps losing people. I mean, I'm in the single digits, I think, on all the books.
Here, I'll fix the whole... Here, like, the whole Nick Fury thing with, you know...
Did you read Original Sin 4?
Not yet.
Oh.
But here's what we'll do, all right? We're going to bring the Ultimate Universe of the Marvel 616.
They put his head...
Well, let's say... Okay, so they need to... they'll transfer Nick Fury's mind, the 616 Nick Fury's mind... And to the ultimate one, the Satan.
The Samuel Jackson.
And then he'll just be the same guy, but he'll be black.
Okay.
And then they'll move him back to the 616 universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes more sense than the whole Nick Fury Jr. thing. It'll just be like, we're saved, but this ultimate guy made a sacrifice to save all the secrets of the Marvel Universe. But now he's Samuel L. Jackson, it all works, and we'll just be like, that's Nick Fury, but they changed minds. They did it to Magneto, didn't they? He was like a clone or something? I don't know. They've done it with so many characters that they brought back to life. That they
Zorn.
Switched bodies with.
Zorn?
Yeah,
Zorn.
Or Joseph?
Was it Zorn?
Yeah, when his... Yeah, he masqueraded as Zorn.
I remember he was like a... Yeah, that's right, he died in that, and then he came back as...
And then... Oh, no, Jean Grey was Zorn.
Oh, no, he died at
battle,
the end
yeah.
of that. At the end of the Grant Morrison run, he dies.
Right, Wolverine beheads him.
Yeah. But then he comes back to life somehow.
Okay.
Because.
And, but I remember there were some things, too, with him being, like, how old Magneto should be now. He shouldn't be, like, the age he is now.
Well, since he was in concentration camps in World War II.
But I feel like something...
70 plus years.
I feel like something happened that he was, like, transferred
but
into
he wasn't
a
frozen
body or something. At
maybe
one point, but I'm not an X-Men person.
No, he's a miracle.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, not him. He can't be. Quicksilver and What's-Her-Face can be, but... Red Skull was a clone. He was transferred into... It was a clone of Steve Rogers.
Richards? What?
I combined a character there.
Yeah.
Steve Rogers. He was a clone of Steve Rogers, and then they...
Steve Rogers and Sue Richards.
They... yeah, but they were, he was transferred into him, and that's what the Red Skull was for a long time. He was a clone of Steve Rogers.
Mm.
I got it right that time. Hey, there's a bunch of characters with names that match, and names
Who's
that
Richards?
Don't match, and Reed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. God.
When did we talk about him?
We did.
When we said
I got his, the last name confused with Captain America's last name.
You gotta follow us.
I'm trying.
I know. He's bad as Adam anymore. And then
yeah, you're bad.
Yeah. And then the DC Band-Aid for the new 52.
I don't even know what's going on with that. Like,
Colin does, and he's not telling us.
First of all, why
Wait,
is
what's
it,
going on with what?
The DC Band-Aid, the Crisis 2015.
Well, I mean, there's no... it's they're moving their entire offices in March and April.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're from what I've read, basically what it says is for those 2 months they're trying to have something already done that they can publish without needing editors who are in the process of moving their entire family across the country, having to worry about, hey, you got those pages in yet?
Yeah.
You know, so they don't have to deal with that. So they're trying to put out something, and what I read, it sounds more like the Contest of Champions type thing. So maybe Future's End is going to end right before that. We're going to get some sort of wacky, hopefully it's better than that Countdown Arena, but something like that for a couple months and then back to regular scheduled program. It's going to be what it's going to be. You know, they need to have a plan. Originally, I remember Flash, that was the point of Flashpoint. Flashpoint was conceived as something for them to be able to publish because they thought they were going to be moving at that point.
Okay.
So that's what they're doing. I enjoyed a little bit because there was a lot of hubbub about two editors leaving Marvel. I think one was Katie Kubert and someone else leaving DC. One went to Marvel, I think one went to Valiant. There was a lot of, oh, you know, everybody's jumping ship on DC. And I was just sitting there going, yeah, what happens when Disney moves Marvel to California? Well, you know, are these same people going to leave? You know.
But not only that, I mean, in any job, you're going to have turnover.
Yeah.
You know, some people just get burned out or whatever and say, you know what, it's time to move on.
But I also have to look at Marvel in the sense that, okay, all these people are coming from DC to you. How does that affect the people who are the lower people at Marvel that are expecting promotions and keep getting jumped over for these people?
Well, they go over to DC. Yeah.
But I think Katie Kubert was just given the Bat books after Mike Martz left, and then she left to go join Mike Martz. I'm like, wow, you just gave up all the Bat books. That's a pretty bold.
Yeah.
So you can work on Dupe, you know.
Long shot save the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deadpool versus
X-Force and then Hawkeye. Those are the next two.
Wow. They're losing it.
Well, you know, he had a team up with Dazzler.
I guess that way they can get a Hawkeye book out.
when was the last time a Hawkeye book came
out? 2 years
Nobody
ago.
Knows. Yeah.
About 2 years ago, I think.
Still really think that Fraction quit Marvel and just didn't bother to tell them.
He didn't quit. He's just, I don't really like my job, and I'm just not going to go anymore.
He turned into that guy from Office?
Yeah,
I'm not going to do that anymore. Hawkeye. I've always wanted to write My Little Pony, not that.
Well, like Sex Criminals just came out today. That's a Fraction book. You know, it's like, it's not like he's not putting out books. He's just not putting out Hawkeye.
Well, you know, Hawkeye or Sex Criminals.
Right, but I'm just saying it's not like, because I read something where it said some family issues were the cause of the Hawkeye delay. And I'm like, okay, but Fraction's still putting out. I don't think we've seen a Satellite Sam in a little bit, but, you know, it's, I don't know.
The Hawkeye's not his priority.
Well, that would be my guess.
Maybe on Mondays he does Hawkeye, on Tuesdays he does, you know, Satellite Sam. On Wednesday, he does Sex Criminals.
Something he has to do a Clint Barton Hawkeye, which I don't even remember what happened in the last story.
Yeah.
Of Clint Barton's Hawkeye. And the next issue, we'll probably get Kate Bishop, and I'll just be like, oh, I'm never going to see this.
Then we'll get one with his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now we have three Hawkeyes.
Well, even the brother would be okay, because the brother was dead, too, or theoretically dead.
Yeah, and then that's where we left off. Are they dead? Are they not dead? We'll never know, because he quit. Didn't tell anybody like Collins. I think that he might be on to something like that.
Could be.
It was a guess, by the way.
If he was that delayed on that, why would they not just put somebody else on it? Why is he so stuck on it?
Well, it's his book.
Yeah, but it's their character. Like, they can do whatever they want in the end. Like, if they need to get a book out, he's taking forever on it. Put somebody else on it.
Well, you know, Marvel is all about quality control.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
What else is out?
So that's all the news that I found.
That's the news, Colin.
And Colin, back to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Pat.
Hold on, I gotta talk in my white voice. Colin, that's all we have today.
That's all. Your white voice.
White voice.
Well, except for his other white voice, because he's white. Nobody knew that,
I
though.
Honestly, probably. Don't know how to respond to any of
probably
that.
Not.
Okay, last week's book.
This is Colin's white voice.
We'll start with Adam, who has no
that's
notes in front of him.
His other white voice. What, bugs? Okay, well, I'm going to
no,
talk about what
bugs,
you have on your list.
Books.
Batman Eternal. Well, we can all talk about Batman Eternal.
Colin,
he's out. He's done. He just dropped the mic. That was that loud pow the microphone made.
Ooh,
anyways.
Okay, so Batman Eternal.
Batman Maternal?
Yeah, Batman Maternal.
Batman's mom's dead, Pat.
Darkness. No parents.
Batman Eternal was really good. It dealt with what's his name? Pig.
Yeah.
Professor Pig. And Colin, you can come over and talk too about it. But and Professor Pig.
Professor Pig. And we found out who the Jogger was that was chasing Tim Drake a couple of
That's
years ago.
Future's End.
Come on, man. Get your books. Too many weekly books.
I did too, because at first she was wearing purple.
Yeah.
And I kept confusing her with Spoiler, because Spoiler is running around in the background of this stuff.
Well, but Spoiler wasn't Batman Eternal.
Yeah.
We're talking about Batman Eternal.
No, yeah, no. Batman Maternal.
Yeah, Batman Maternal.
About his mom.
Yeah, it's about Batman's maternal instincts, and that's why he's taking care of Julia Pennyworth.
He's a good mom.
Yeah. He's a bad mother.
I really like 10. I love the pig stuff. I love the more depth into the conspiracy thing. Mm-hmm. 11 that came out today took a real detour. Not bad, just to warn everybody.
Okay.
He's talking about 11 because nobody else here can talk about 11.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you could if you read it.
Yeah.
But
if somebody sold me my books, maybe.
Batman, I don't think, was in it. I was in it like a page and a half or so. But it was drawn by a guy, I don't remember his name, Ian something.
Ian.
It's on the very... Bertram, something like that. Whose art is very reminiscent of Chris Burnham, who did Batman Incorporated with Morrison.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, and so and that's why I tweeted this morning or last night, I said that it's different. And you know, Kyle said, uh-oh. I said, no, not uh-oh. It's just very different. My concern is it is very, very different.
Kyle
Fassenmeyer.
Yeah.
And that it might turn some people off if you didn't like that. It was very reminiscent of Batman Incorporated. But I really liked it. But it was very, the art was definitely a departure from the last couple. So, go on with 10.
I always thought Burnham had a good... he drew Damien, like, the best.
Okay.
But that's just back to what Colin was talking about with that artist. But I just don't know. Everybody else drew Damien. Damien was supposed to be, like, what, 10?
Yeah.
And everybody else made him look like a teenager. And I never understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just had it just right on.
Well, but he's...
But he was the original... Well, not the original person to draw, but the original person to draw him for Batman and Robin.
Okay.
Because that's who was drawing for Batman and Robin, I think.
Yeah. Frank Quitely was...
Frank Quitely, yeah, that's right. He was drawing for that. And then he was drawing for Batman Inc. That's right. Anyways.
He drew Batman and Robin, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Professor Pig, I found it funny that they've been using Professor Pig so much. But as a new, like, DC character, as one of these DC Gotham City freaks.
Yeah.
He fits, and he's different compared to all the rest of them, you know?
Yeah.
You're not getting, like, another mind control, like, person, like Mad Hatter, or you're getting... You know, this guy is actually kind of a weird guy who...
Kind of a Leatherface type.
And recreates him, and he's basically a butcher...
Dr. Moreau.
He's a butcher who's dressed as a pig, you know? And he has all these experiments and stuff like that. And the stuff that he does, like, Colin was mentioning it, the chicken head guy... And then walks in, and I'm just like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, that can't even work. But he made it work. Like,
yeah.
And he could see and everything and do what he was doing. But I doubt a chicken brain can actually control the body of a human. Like, it wouldn't work the same way. But whatever.
Yeah.
Let's just go with it. But it was weird. It was different. It kind of also showed that there's a little more going on than just Falcone.
Yeah, what was it?
Falcone's not just the... throughout this, you think Falcone's the one who's controlling this.
Yeah, and
there's somebody else behind
him. Somebody behind it. Yeah, what was the line? You know, I thought that Professor Pig was the bad guy. Now, he's a bad guy, but
yeah,
there's a bad...
Well, and not only that, like, Falcone just let something slip. And he's just like... this isn't what they wanted, or something like that. I forget what exactly
yeah,
what he said.
Yeah, like this. It was not prophesied, but this
yeah,
was
this
doing
wasn't.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we also have something going on with those nanites.
Yeah,
that Tim Drake was dealing with that we haven't went back to. So there's something bigger here, and I think they're just writing this story a little better, which is going to kind of get us into talking about Future's End. But they're writing it better than Future's End as a weekly book. Because every issue has been something, but it kind of connects, or it just works.
It moves the story.
And
it
moves the story.
Yeah.
Which takes me to Future's End, which... it was... it's okay. Like, it's not great. It's not, you know, it's not good. It's just... it's not bad. It's just not... I don't know. It's not that... it just doesn't have a very good flow to it. Every issue seems like it's something different happening.
Yeah.
But it doesn't connect to the last issue very well. And,
yeah, because, like, they were talking about Frankenstein and...
yeah, there was a Frankenstein thing going on before that, Shade, and they went into the Phantom Zone, and then now we don't see anything about the Phantom Zone. We're now dealing
with... well, no, they were in the Phantom Zone.
Not in the last issue, was it?
Yeah, that was in the last issue. But, you know, Grifter went off on submission, and...
we don't know anything about that for a while. And then we...
Terry McGinnis finally shows back up.
Yeah, he's a homeless guy.
Yeah.
And where's Batman? We've not seen Batman at all.
But I think part of that was... Bruce is very clear, don't come to me because I'm not going to believe you.
Oh, I know that,
stop
but
you.
He's not anywhere. Like, he's not in this book at all. And what's funny is...
but none of the main...
well, we've had a few. We've had, you know, we've had Green Arrow. We've had...
right, but Green
Wonder
Arrow
Woman.
Died.
Wonder Woman.
They all showed up, though, for Ollie's funeral.
He, that's the thing. You never saw Batman. And it just... I don't know. Something weird. Because Batman... the thing is, Batman is an intricate part of this. Because he should be somewhere.
Yeah.
He's intricate to the story because... he is originally who created who created everything dealing with that. That's,
well, but the other thing is, we also know that Terry McGinnis showed up late.
Yeah.
So my guess is
something might have already happened. In that?
Well, I don't think that that's what's going on because Batman in the future was still Batman, so
yeah.
He didn't get changed. But my guess is whatever he's doing right now during the course of this book is what he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. My other thing with this book, the only thing that I really liked about this story, and I've liked it, this is what I've said has been my favorite thing about it, is that it tells us the future, like, the future of DC we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, Black Adam's in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, yeah, there's a whole bunch of little things like that, that have, that one wasn't the big one for me, but there have been a lot. Like, the Earth 1, Earth 2, like, war.
Yeah.
That they keep talking about. Mr. Terrific being back, which has to be the fact that this Earth 1, Earth 2 thing. The one that they had, and this one that really intrigued me, is Superman. Superman shows up,
and
he's fully suited. And you don't see who it is.
Yeah.
And even, this Faraday... says to him, you know, we don't know if it's you, if it's Superman behind that mask. You could be anybody.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that's interesting. And then I kept thinking, well, maybe he's Batman. Like, maybe that is Batman underneath that. Because this is Batman. He's the one that would hide himself behind a mask. But I don't know that. But it's interesting because you're just like, okay, why is Superman dressed in a full suit? So there are things that are interesting about this story.
But why is Tim Drake in hiding?
Well, something happened where all the Titans were killed.
Yeah.
Right. So,
he
is he in, like, the superhero relocation program or something?
Maybe.
Yeah. But, and then Lois
Lane
stole
The Incredibles.
Arm.
I haven't read the new one of that, so I can't answer.
Okay. The Incredibles? But yeah, I mean, I can't say anything bad about this story. The only thing I can say bad about it is that
it's
inconsistent. Yeah, it's really inconsistent. So they don't have a very good flow to this book.
But not to the point where I don't want to read it. I want to like this book.
That's what's interesting. I do still want to read it just to see what's going on. So yeah. I can't say it's bad. I can't say it's good. But it has its issues. But it also has things that are kind of intriguing.
Yeah.
So, but okay, that's all I'll talk about. You could have talked about it. What did you think of Forever Evil or whatever the hell it's called? Future's End. They all start with F anymore. Go on.
No, I agree. It's very inconsistent, and it's losing. People are want to stick with it, but I think it's starting to lose them. So.
Yeah, if you put a gun in my head and say you can only have either Batman Eternal,
not maternal,
or Future's End, I'm going to pick Batman Eternal. I think it's a much better story to this point.
Yeah.
Okay,
what else? What do you got, Pat?
Royals, Master of War, number 5.
Behind it. I've only read the first two.
So you can't talk about it.
No, you can talk about it. But I always hear that song in my head every time I see the cover.
Royals?
Wait, is anybody, like, you were saying that, are people turning away to your to Future's End?
No, but it doesn't sell as well as Batman Eternal, and I think people are, I don't necessarily notice that they're not picking it up anymore, but no, it's right, not, but it's going down.
But it's also called Batman Eternal, and it is a Batman book, and is it necessarily, it's not
and
selling
Scott
as well,
Snyder's name on it,
or the fact that
it's
Batman Eternal's a Batman book, and that's by definition going to sell better. But yeah, Royals Master of War, this five, there's one issue left. You see that the daughter, she's gone crazy and now speaks German. And
that's not good.
Yeah.
So when you're British during World War II, that's not good.
Right.
Was her power set? I don't know if I had seen it materialize.
Right? I can't remember.
Like,
what
the kid could fly
was.
And was strong as kind of like Superman.
Right, and he had lasers that could shoot out of his eyes, and his brother also had lasers and could fly, but his brother was a drunk bastard.
Right.
So, basically in the end here, the father, the King of England, is like, I got to put a stop to this.
And he kills all of his children.
He does kill the daughter.
Oh, wow.
Because he was tired of seeing her suffer. She tried to kill herself. She had a moment of lucidity and you know, tried to kill herself.
Wow.
And apparently the queen was also quite off. You kind of learned that that's part of the reason why the king didn't want them to use their powers, is he was afraid if they used their powers, they would go mad. So, at the end, he kills his daughter, kills his wife, and then somehow can talk through mind control to his sons, says, you know, I'm going to Berlin to end this, and that's where it concludes.
Cool.
But it's been a really good series. It's very different. In the context of its real historical events, but... You know, you add this in,
he's
and it's
going. They're
it's
going to Berlin to end what?
World War II.
World War II. Who is ruling Germany then?
Hitler.
Okay, now that means all these royal characters have superpowers, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
But Hitler won because he's not a royal.
That's right, but there is a royal family in place in Germany,
but he's still running a war. Because in Germany, during actual
war, they all agreed
not
to get involved.
Yeah, there were no royals on the German side.
But he was still ruling Germany, but they were... That's what was funny about that.
Well, but like Churchill is running England, but they're still the royal
family. Royal family. Well, in Germany in World War II, there wasn't that at all.
Well, there was the Kaiser and all that, yeah.
There was still a Kaiser during World War II?
I think so.
No, I thought that was during World War
I. Said, yeah, during all that ended during World War One.
They
World
killed
War
the
I, that's what happened, because they killed, that's what started.
France Ferdinand.
But when Hitler, their economy was, like, weak, and he was able to take over Germany just because they had no power, so they had to take over. He was able to take over so easily. That's how we took over. That's interesting.
We can debate the root causes of World War II at another
time.
Well,
it's just interesting. I didn't understand it because
you had these
superhero characters that I was wondering if, like, how they were, like, it just doesn't seem like, you were saying Germany, that it doesn't seem like somebody, like a superhero royal that was going to say, I'm going to go end this. All he had to do was go over there and kill Hitler if he doesn't have any superpowers.
Yeah, but he didn't, that was the whole thing, is that he wanted to stay out of it. They wanted the royals to be out of it.
Yeah.
And they didn't. You know, after, the king kind of snaps because he sees what happened to his daughter and that keys him into, I'm just going to go take care of Hitler and you know, call it a day. So that's that. Walking Dead 128.
I didn't read that.
Why not?
I don't know. Did you read it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it good?
I don't know.
It wasn't as good as 127.
I read the beginning of it, because I remember I just didn't, like, I picked it up to read it, and then I was like, yeah, I'm going to bed.
But basically, it's just a little bit more of the goings-on now 2 years later, or however long, because even in the letters page now it says, no, it's not necessarily 2 years later.
Well, we should find out, though, whenever they get to the hilltop where Maggie is, you'll see how old the baby is,
right.
And that'll give you a clue.
An idea. All I remember, all I got to in that book, I think, was that he decided to let Carl go to the kingdom, or not the kingdom, to the hilltop.
Right. To the hilltop, right, yeah.
And that was a...
Well, and clearly there's something else going on with this other group. They're not...
Well, I don't know if it is, they just, it's kind of like, imagine if Rick's group had fallen in with another group who took their weapons and kept them. They're kind of very distrustful going, we think there's something else going on here.
That's basically what happened to Terminus at the TV
show. Exactly.
They took their weapons and then... But you know what? In this whole comic, that's how it works. Like, they did that when Rick and his group show up in that little town.
In Alexandria.
In Alexandria. And the guy who was running it was like, we're going to have to take your guns. And they held him, but then Rick broke back into the building and took him.
And took him back,
so it's really a retelling of the story, just with Rick on the other side, which... I hope it's not just that, because it seems like they're just repeating the story again, just with different characters.
Yeah.
Which is what they've been doing a lot of, if you think about it, with Walking Dead. The Governor's story and the...
Negan's story.
Negan's story are kind of the same type of deal. They're just different kind of character.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Yeah.
Negan was Negan. Certainly had awesome language.
Yeah.
But... There were rules. I mean,
it
was...
I feel like Negan, though, was... Negan was kind of... He was more of a barbarian society. They still had rules.
He was a very Genghis Khan type.
Rules.
Yeah.
You know, this is how it was going to work, and it was Negan's way.
It doesn't work, I'm going to press an iron to
the governor. The governor was actually kind of wanting to run some sort of community, but it was kind of like more of like a military, like, run community. Like a militia-run community that was... It had its own rules, but it just they were like had to be perfect, and it wasn't perfect. Like the world wasn't
right. And then I think the difference is in Negan society, they knew what they were and they were okay with what they were.
Yeah.
Whereas with the governor, you know, the perfect little society wouldn't have gladiator battles.
Yeah, but that's the funny thing about it though, like. The television show, like, Governor and the comic book Governor are two different kinds of governors and two different things. Like, I actually kind of like the idea of the TV show Governor better, because I think he was more of an interesting character, because the comic book Governor was... He was just a bad guy. Like, he was just an awful person, even from the beginning.
Well, they kind of rushed... And, you know, that's... With the exception of Rick's group, you never really get character development over a long period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the nature of the series, where people don't last very long, so you don't get to know their story.
Yeah.
But with the governor, you walk into, okay, this guy is nuts, and here's what's going on.
Yeah.
Where you kind of see, progressively, the governor. Now, you know, he does ambush the four guys from the army with the helicopter.
Yeah.
Unprovoked. So, you know... That's there, but, you know, you kind of see the progression of
what's
going over the
what court. I think was interesting about the TV show Governor, and even in that case, was he was trying to run this society. This is why the whole thing about Walking Dead is there's characters who are survivors who are accepting this new world and how it runs, and then there's characters who are trying to bring it back to how it was, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Governor was he was one of those characters. He was a character, and especially in the show, mainly in the show, because he wasn't like that. And I think that's what makes him interesting. He was this character who was trying to create a society when the outside of the world was still screwed up. Like, and he was trying very hard to act like it was a society that was not, has not fallen apart. He was still trying to live a normal life, and that's not a thing. And I thought that's what made him interesting.
In the book, though, it seems that Rick is very much that character in the book, whereas in the TV show, he's just a survivor. Although that's, he even waffles a little bit on that, because Shane was just a straight-up survivor.
I think Rick, though, in the comic books, is the character now that is accepting that, okay, this isn't the same world. We need to adapt to, we need to evolve or die.
Yeah.
And he did now. Like, they're running the life. They're not trying to live, you know, in the houses like they were and stuff. They're trying to just survive and live in this world of how it is and accept it of how it is, because now they can't fix it necessarily.
Yeah.
They can fix it, can't fix it fast, but they can fix it as slow.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is the character that was leading Alexandria, and I forget his name. He was that politician.
He got gutted by Negan.
Yeah, he was killed.
That was his son that was killed by Negan. Yeah.
I think he was bit. I feel like he was bit or something.
Or stabbed. Something happened to him.
It had nothing to do with Negan at the time, I don't
know. No, his son was the one that got killed by Negan.
Yeah. And the thing about him was he was this character that is kind of like the TV show governor. He wanted to live a perfect life, and that's what was happening. Even, I don't know if it was Carl or what. I think Carl was saying in the comics a lot. He was saying, you know, these people, these kids, they don't understand, like, they're trying to live like nothing's on the outside, and he knows for a fact that there's something, so they're going to die. Like, and that's basically what happened, in a way, once everything started happening. So, I don't know. There's the thing about it is they need something that I think they're doing somewhat better in the TV show of separating, you know, making the transition between new villains and new stuff a little more interesting, because they, like, they changed the governor. I think they made the governor a little more interesting in the TV show than they did in the comic book, because, as I said, it was basically Negan with a different kind of haircut, basically, and a smaller version of Negan with a different haircut, and he was still running a kind of barbarian society still. I mean, they were more like these biker, well, I guess he was kind of a biker too, Negan, but it just, it didn't have a real good difference. A real good difference in that.
They did the one episode of the TV show with the governor when he's hanging out with the little girl and his family. They actually, he tried to bring him back to the rational thinking people, but it just didn't
take. Did, but in a way, he was still going back to the way that he was trying to go back. He wasn't moving forward. He was living in the past.
Yeah.
He was trying to accept, okay, this little girl is like my daughter. Yeah. And that's what he was doing to begin with.
Right.
And then if something happened there, then he'd snap. And that was, you know, he was trying to live, but he was never going to be able to do that at all. So, I don't know. I just, you know, what they're doing now is kind of interesting in the book, I think.
Yeah.
And we've stepped away for a little bit. Stepping up in time a little bit, I think, is helping this story.
We have a real life episode of Cops playing out.
Yeah. We keep turning around. Oh, they're coming this way, Colin. Get out of here.
Never takes live, copper.
They know about the containment breach of the zombies. Zombie goo. They have readers of zombie goo. But yeah, no, I that's how far I got it. Teenage Carl kind of weirds me out.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. He seems really weird. He looks weird looking. I have to say that. The whole, I don't like the new design. I don't like his crazy emo hair.
Yeah.
That goes over his eye. Because I just don't feel like that's very hygienic.
Just get him an eye patch.
And this is the zombie apocalypse. You might as well be as hygienic as possible. If anything, like any kind of zombie stuff gets inside your eye, you're automatically turning zombie. Because that's what we learned so far, that if they cover weapons
in zombie
in
pus,
zombie guts, then if you get a paper cut and a zombie touched that paper, you're turning into a zombie. And that's just how it's going to work.
Who shot Carl's eye out? Because maybe it was the same guy who killed the Watcher.
It was Rick. Rick shot Carl's eye out, yeah. And which is funny, because somebody wrote about that online the other day.
Oh,
I read right. something. Oh, what? Yeah.
Rick's the worst parent ever?
I follow a bunch of the actors on Instagram of The Walking Dead, and one of them is Chandler Riggs, who is Carl,
yeah.
And he posted, like, a drawing that somebody drew of from the comic book. And it wasn't from the comic book, it was just a fan art. And it was a cut down the middle of the younger picture, and now the newer picture.
Mm-hmm.
And all these kids who watch these fangirls who watch the TV show but never read a comic, they're like, what happened to his eye? He never got his eye shot out. What is this? And they're like, it happened in the comic book.
Yeah.
You know, go read a book, kid. it was just funny because, you know, they were all questioning this, and somebody did actually question that. They're like, well, who shot his eye out? And some people forget because a lot of stuff happens in The Walking Dead, and that's what just happened with you. And, Rick, he was, I forget who he was shooting, but he was like, I don't know if it was a bunch of zombies came in or what, but he was just shooting all over the place, and Carl happened to be in the gun range, and it shot him, which I've always looked at that picture, and I'm just like, there's no way Carl would be alive, because basically it goes through and blows out the whole side of his head.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, live with your whole head, like, exploding.
Yeah, it's not like you had access to a brain surgeon in top-notch medical facilities.
And then they move to the next panel, and it's just, like, this little wound, like, it's just this tiny, like, it came out here, and it hit
just rub some dirt in it, walk it off, Carl, you'll be alright.
It just shaved his eye out, like, basically, is what they're saying.
Rub some dirt in it.
Sorry about that.
And I always...
the computer sticks.
I always like the cap. He wore the hat, and forever in the hat, they drew this little hole because it went out his eye
and
nicked the hat. And forever they had that. Now they don't have the hat. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Carl, like, his outfit was kind of iconic for the book for a little while. You know, you were stuck with it. Okay, Carl wears the hat. He does all this. He has the eye patch. And now he has nothing. There's nothing really to him to differentiate him from all the other kids that are staying in this village very much, you know. You can't even see the eye hole. He's got it covered with a ridiculous amount of hair for some reason. But I don't know why they... It just seems really odd that they stopped with the eye patch. Like, what was their... I don't understand what their reason was. Because he said it?
Okay.
No, Negan took off his eye patch and made him walk around with the hole
exposed. Why didn't Carl just be like, you know, forget Negan. I don't like that guy. Put his eye patch back on before he gets something...
Give him a little freedom or...
He wants to be all Nick Fury.
Feels he's a different person.
Like, he's going to get something stuck in it. I mean, it would hurt, probably.
I'm surprised they haven't, like, MacGyvered him up a glass eye or something by now.
Exactly.
You know, they may Rick a hook hand and...
Or get a zombie eye.
Yeah, they're making...
Like, get a zombie and scoop it out and then just be like, okay.
Remember the whole zombie gut argument? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why that won't work.
They can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Originally, I wouldn't think what that matters because they covered themselves, okay? In the book, they covered themselves in zombie guts for the smell.
Yeah.
But no, they didn't get any of their mouth or anything. They were just perfectly clean. It's not like they had any...
No,
like,
cuts or abrasions.
It wasn't absorbed into their pores or something like that, you know? It all just worked out because they said so.
It's comic book logic. Just let it go.
I don't know, but come on.
Okay, what else you got, Pat?
Green Lantern Corps 32, which was part of Uprising.
That was good.
Yeah. You know, it's Saddam... Or... But the Derlins want to become what's the name of that
Dax,
race?
I don't remember. Well, I always forget.
They want to be part of them.
They're half breed Kryptonia, basically.
Right? And then take them to a yellow sun.
Half breed.
Well, and then combine it with the fire people. And then, apparently, then they'll stay whatever they are.
They want to be fire Kryptonians.
Yeah, exactly.
Half-breeds.
But now the...
Thank you, Cher.
Now the Green Lanterns have a way to...
Colin doesn't believe in life after love.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
We're having our own little discussion over here.
Okay.
Colin, while Pat's talking about this, your wallet is falling to pieces.
I know.
And even though that you own a bunch of these paper wallets around here, I feel like you need to upgrade. This isn't a podcast anymore. It's an intervention.
Okay. And then Justice League 3000 that I interrupted you from talking about last week.
That's too late now.
You can talk about it now.
We already talked about it.
Good.
It's just really good. Nice twist to it. Yeah. It turns out of the twins, one is evil and one is dead.
One is an evil twin.
Yeah. That's the way it always is.
Somebody always has
and
an
it
evil
just,
twin.
It, yeah, just it was a very interesting twist. You didn't see it coming.
Which one is Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's evil twin? You said everybody has an evil twin.
And
come
Adam
on.
Stops the conversation right there.
Yep.
You said everybody has an evil twin.
Well, it was good. It's a book I really enjoy because it doesn't really tie in with anything. You just read it on its own.
Yeah.
It's kind of very fun, I don't know, just different takes on all the characters.
You're not bound by continuity.
No.
You just do what you want.
No, it's just, it's been very enjoyable. Cops are coming here to get you out.
The only continuity that they haven't focused on is the, what is that group called? Legion.
That would be
around that time period. So I guess I don't know if they changed, because they did do that in New 52.
Yeah.
I just don't know where this is in New 50. If this is like, maybe this is Earth 2.
Or maybe, you know, it's Justice League 3000.
Earth 12.
But,
you know, we could just throw an Earth at it. Earth WK Pineapple. You can do whatever you want.
We're throwing in Marvel numbering now. So.
That is Marvel numbering.
Yeah.
Well, the Shazam Earth is Earth S. So they do have a letter one.
Okay. That's what I read.
Okay. David.
Starlight, number 4.
It's in my pile.
Very, very good. Very good issue. It's a prison break issue. Duke was captured in the last issue. And this, in the new number 4, he escapes and kind of accepts his role in the revolution. And there's a big twist at the end. I won't give it away.
Give it away.
Colin hasn't read it yet, so.
Yeah, Colin hasn't read it. He doesn't want to read it.
Talk about it next week. Oh.
Yeah.
But then they have these single-panel flashbacks of Duke against the Robot King and the Ice Apes and the Plant Masters.
Sweet.
And it was these. I would love to see the old adventures of Duke McQueen.
Okay.
I want to
see. Does he look like Steve McQueen?
kind of does. But I'd love to see more of the Ice Apes. I think that's a great.
Okay.
And Astro City number 13. Very different book. Very challenging book to read. It is tells 24 hours in the life of Astro City, and each page is an hour. But it's told all out of order.
They Tarantino'd it.
The Tarantino version of 24.
And I read it at least 3 times, and it's still
don't know what's happening.
Still don't know what's happening with the whole thing. But there's someone called the Dancing Master who kind of
dances.
Affects everyone in Astro City to act out their desires. So it's a lot of people making out everywhere on a few pages. But it's still just a PG book. Nothing bad.
Nothing ridiculous.
And the issue follows some different threads. There's a character called Gundog who decides to rob 5 banks in a day. And he kind of takes one of the tellers, you know, her desires to get away from life, so she joins Gundog.
I was hoping that it was, like, when he said that, I was hoping it was, like, an actual dog with, like, guns.
Yeah.
Six-gun gorilla. Which will come up later.
Maybe should have been.
That's on your list? I'll say.
But it's really interesting. And I read Hulk number 4.
How's that doing?
Well, that's the last.
This is the last Mark Waid issue.
So, did it resolve the fact that Hulk had been shot in the head, or I guess Bruce Banner had been shot in the head?
It kind of does, because at the end,
gamma radiation, like his gamma ability, would just heal that after a while.
Well, at the end, I haven't been reading Iron Man, but does Avengers take custody of Banner after his fight with the Abomination, and they take him away from Marie Hill, and they go to Iron Man's future city or something. Does anyone know?
Okay, yeah.
With Tony Stark's brother, and they put.
Yeah, I stopped reading it right when they had Tony Stark's brother.
Wait,
yeah, I don't know about him.
Wait, Iron Man has a future city.
I don't know anything about it, honestly.
Have you been reading that?
That's Metropolis or
Metropolis.
Is that the city that he was wanting to make, like, in Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that before Fear Itself? He was wanting to make, like, a brand... He was wanting to construct a new city, like, that...
Like, next to Asgard, Oklahoma?
Well, yeah, remember where Asgard was? And he was wanting to help them by fixing and creating a new town with all sorts of technology, and then he was doing that with all this Stark, and then Fear Itself happened.
Okay.
And that was just a disaster, but yeah, he was building something like that, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I always wondered about that.
Well, they operate on Banner, and they put extremists into his brain.
And he doesn't have to explode.
And like they're like, they don't know, like, how long is this going to take, you know, for him to wake up, and he wakes up immediately.
Doesn't that seem like a big mistake to put that inside Hulk?
Yeah.
I don't know. That just seems like a bad idea.
But like one of the last lines is, you know, he's going to be smart. But Tony says, but how smart?
Yeah. That's interesting.
And we'll see how the writer of Deadpool makes
it. So I guess this can be a new number one next
month. Breathe fire? Because the extremist things fire. If there's a Hulk that breathes fire, that would be really cool.
That would be awesome.
Fire-breathing smart Hulk.
Smart Hulk, yeah. We've already had a smart Hulk here.
Yeah, Professor Hulk.
He was really intelligent.
You done? I just want to mention... I will admit that I read Figment number one.
Okay. Well, I've been wondering.
It sold out. So.
Yeah, I think that was sold out before I even got here last week.
And it was a lot.
Oh, okay.
Because I am a Disney fan. I wondered that this is Figment from the Journey into Imagination ride at Epcot. And
I've never been there.
Kind of.
You can drink in a lot of different places there.
He's going tomorrow.
You can get drunk around the world.
Yeah, but if he has to take out a loan in order to go drink, you know.
Although I think after today he might do that anyway.
I'm going home and drinking tonight, yes.
Yeah, but you can do that at home. He could go and get... But to go to Disney World, you know, that's going to cost you a fortune just for him.
Okay, move on.
Yeah, I just thought it was a good all-ages book. I'm glad you sold out. Hopefully the trade will... The trade will get Disney fans will need to get the trade when it comes out. It kind of starts kind of slow until Figment shows up, but then it pops into high gear, and the art's really nice. It's kind of like a painted look to it, and it was good.
Huh. And what was the other book that they have? You haven't read that, have you? That
Seekers of the Weird.
I haven't read that. No, that was.
I was just a little curious about
that. That was based on an attraction that they never ended up making at Disneyland. I think Disneyland, yeah.
It's not like they don't have any space to do that with.
Not in Disneyland, they don't.
It's like, yeah, no, we can't fit that.
In Disneyland,
we're too busy with the teacup ride.
No. Well, in Disneyland, they have Anaheim built up all around it. They really don't have any space there. Disney World, they got plenty, but not Disneyland.
That's all I have.
Okay. A couple other ones I had. Empty Man was one from Boom by Cullen Bunn. And it was an interesting one. It's a police procedural where people are acting out of character and blaming it on the Empty Man and doing, like, really horrific things, killing their families, all sorts of things.
Sounds like them little girls in Illinois.
Yeah.
Or Wisconsin.
Okay.
They stabbed that little girl because of the Slender Man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's what this is. And then at the end has a little twist ending where I'm not going to give it away. But it real neat little book. Boom is doing a lot of neat little creator-owned things. And a lot of them are really good. Another one came out today called Thomas Alsop, which is basically, he is what's called the Hand of Manhattan. And basically, he is in charge of protecting Manhattan from all supernatural intruders.
Okay.
And so he's kind of like Constantine for Manhattan, and his job is to protect it. Very, very good.
I think you talked about that.
Yeah, I might have talked about
that. Yeah, I think, because that sounded familiar.
Yeah, it was good. I read Revenger, number 4. That was one whacked-out miniseries. A little four-parter. Basically, a guy is going to get a face transplant. So that, because he's like 70-year-old Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
And he's out there, he goes out, well, it turns out it was a plot by his girlfriend who was actually the daughter of this woman that he used to sleep with and kind of threw away and didn't care about, and so she's taking revenge on him and actually having his face removed, put on her boyfriend, and that he can then pretend he's this old actor and they can keep his millions. So they took his fingerprints, his fingertips, his face.
Okay.
And so it starts with basically him in this tank, alive but without a face and everything, and then coming out and going to get revenge back on his girlfriend. And it
Does he have a face? You know, like Mr. Skullhead.
No. He had all the muscle and everything underneath it, and at one point he kills the doctor's dog and has the dog's face put on. So through two issues, he had the dog's face.
That's awesome.
It was something. It was really as bizarre as you imagine, but kind of still, yeah, I had to finish it, because once you started, you kind of had to finish that thing. I read Original Sins, number one, and it was not good. Not good. The first part of it was Deathlok, introducing a new Deathlok who is not Michael Collins and not Mike Peterson.
Okay.
He's a completely new character.
Is this the one that's going to be the Deathlok series that comes out in October? Okay.
Yes. This was basically a preview to the new series.
So it's a point one without calling it a point one.
Then there was the obligatory Young Avengers tie-in to the event book that they've done with every event. There's been a Runaways Young Avengers tie-in. Okay. And it is basically the Young Avengers walking around New York City, and everybody's gone because of Original Sin, the eye blowing up or whatever. Because of that, what happened there, everybody's missing. And they go into this building, and turns out the Hood is there, cloaked in invisibility or something, and he reveals himself really weird, and that's how it ended. And then there was a little 3-page Lockjaw story where his Original Sin, and it was losing a bone. So
that's real?
Yeah.
I thought you were joking.
I was not joking.
He actually lost a bone? He's not even a real dog. He was a person, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was an inhuman. That's when he hit the Terra Gemini.
He's not a real dog, people. Why would you ever do that? He probably hates being a dog.
Maybe not. I mean, there's some advantages.
He's probably like, I used to be a human. Now I teleport people and act like a dog. I'm sure he's...
Yeah, but he gets his belly rubbed and, he can...
You read that story and tell me if I was lying or not. And
is the worst art I've ever seen in my life.
Then the last one I want to talk about is my little pet project book called San Hannibal. The only reason I read the first one was it came in. It's a little book I think I read 3 copies of. And it came in and the cover grabbed me, which is good. It's a good job of cover. Yes. And I opened up inside. It was pink. It's hot, not hot pink, I guess, what do you call it? Magenta, I guess, is the... but it's hot pink, and it just... The coloring added so much to the art, and so the second one came out fantastic. It added blue to the pink, but the coloring is just fantastic. And I tweeted them, commenting on the color, and then the colorist responded back to me thanking me and stuff, but it's just... a really neat book. I'm out of both issues right now. I have more number ones coming in next week, and I have more number twos on order. But if you get a chance, if you like, it's a murder mystery.
No worries.
But this one took some bizarre twists, and just it's fascinating. Just a really, really neat. Originally, just a private detective, not murder mystery, private detective trying to find a missing person, and it's going down all these bizarre twists and turns, but really, really a good book. I'm really excited to see how this goes.
Comic books are weird.
Some are.
Yeah, this one in particular.
But how did he communicate with Iron Man? Does Lockjaw telepathically talk to people?
It's Marvel. They do whatever they want.
It looks like he's trying. He's just like Dead Watcher, Hulk, some woman. And then he just stares at him, and then Iron Man just knows, looks fly to space.
And what does he find?
He finds a bone.
Thank you. And you said I was kidding.
I thought these were sins. I didn't think they were just memories.
That was his sin, was that bone.
How do you sin by losing a bone?
It was the Watcher's femur. No, I don't. Okay. But yeah, that was not.
You're not allowed to sell these books anymore.
Yeah, because
why are you buying them?
This new Deathlok's name is
Jimmy Schmitz.
No, it's like. There we go. Mr. Hayes. Something Hayes.
Jimmy Jeminson.
Henry Hayes.
Sounds there like a Marvel name.
Henry Hayes. Okay, let's get to next week. Now, as I said, I will be on vacation next week. But it is also my biggest week of the year, book-wise. So you must come in and buy stuff. I'm commanding you. Dan will be here. Be nice to him. It just also happens to be the biggest shipment of the year. So be nice to him, have patience, but please come in.
Buy stuff.
But have a little patience.
Action figures.
He hasn't done this since last summer when I went away. So spotlights of next week. Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Finally.
Aquaman 32 bombshell variant. Batman, along with a bombshell variant.
Is that the final issue? Of Zuri?
No, there's one more after that. Yeah.
That's the penultimate issue.
Yes. Now, just a word of advice. The Batman Black and White Harley Quinn statue is coming in. They informed us yesterday that we were allocated to half of our order. So I'm only getting half of my order in. So if you requested one, here's the problem. I ordered 8. I had 8 requests. No problem, right? I have 8 coming in. I have 8 people that want it. That's a win. Well, now I have 4 coming in and 8 people that want it. So, and of course, they did a second printing of this before this even came out because they knew that they were short. They never bothered to tell us that they were short. So I ordered a couple of the second prints, but not 4. So I went and tried to order 4 today, and they went to back order already. So
death matches for...
No, I'm going to be really fair, and I'm going to do it based on when the order came in. If you were the first 4 to order, to have me requested in the computer, you're getting them. And that's what I'm going to tell Dan to do. So don't yell at Dan, yell at me. I do have 2 of the second prints, so the next 2 people are going to get 1. It's just going to have a white base instead of a black base. And the last 2 people, I'm sorry, but I'm going to... now you're all wondering, who's who? I don't know. I haven't looked to see in my computer. Crapped out. So, although it's fixed, but I'm not looking right now. Okay, other stuff coming in next week. Cartoon Network Super Secret Crisis War, which is IDW doing a crossover war between all of their cartoon-based shows. Was it Samurai Jack, Powerpuff Girls... what else? Oh, Rocky and Bullwinkle. I don't know if they're doing Rocky and Bullwinkle, but all those things, big. They're excited about it. Okay. Catwoman bombshell, Cowl number 2. Number 1 was quite interesting. We have a couple Batmobiles coming in, the classic Batgirl bike, classic TV Batgirl bike, and then the Arkham Asylum video game vehicle. Don't even know what that looks like. We have the CoverGirl's Poison Ivy statue. Oh, I only have 1 of those coming in. I got shorted on that, too. And then the DC New 52 Earth 2 figures are coming in next week. Flash Green Lantern and Thomas Wayne. Fantastic Four number 6, which is an original Sin tie-in. The Flash bombshell. Frank Miller's Big Damn Sin City hardcover, which is a $100 hardcover of the entire 7-volume Sin City book. So I'm excited. One of these is for me. Set it aside. Because one of the mistakes I made when I opened, I brought all my trades and put them on the shelf. And back then, the Sin City books were regular size trades. Then after that, they made them a little smaller, digest sized. So I sold all my original full size ones, and I was always very sad about that.
So now you can rectify that.
I can rectify that with a Big Damn Sin City hardcover. Justice League 31. We're getting caught up. I really thought we'd get 31 and 32 this month, but apparently 32 will be next month.
Oh, I thought there is a month where there's supposed to be 2 of them.
Yeah, not this month.
Oh, okay.
And Justice League Dark with its bombshell variant. Ms. Marvel 5. That book is really doing a lot better than I thought it would. I just didn't know how it was going to find its audience, being the little Muslim girl. And just, this is Pittsburgh. It's not a huge ethnic community like that, but it's doing much, much better than I expected, which is good. New Avengers is coming out with not only issue 20, but annual number 1. thanks, Marvel, couldn't spread those out. So now I have to make an extra spot on the wall just for the annual, which annoys me because there's a lot of new spots we're going to need for next week. Okay.
We need a bigger store.
Original Sin 3.1 coming out after 4. Yay. And that's the Iron Man versus Hulk 4-part miniseries. Outcast by Kirkman. That's the new Kirkman book.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of buzz behind that one. So that's coming out. New previews next week. Saga number 20.
New previews next week?
Yeah, new previews next
that
week.
Seems early.
I agree. My order is due next week.
Yeah.
So also a word to the wise. If there's anything in the June previews that you want, let me know by Friday because I'm going to be working on the order the rest of this week because I really don't want to take my laptop with me to the beach and work on the order. So, and it's not going to be really easy to update via my iPad mini. So, Savage Hulk is coming out next week. The Six Gun Gorilla trade paperback is coming out. Yay. If I haven't beaten you over the head about this, you really need to get it. It was a lot of fun.
How many did you buy?
10. So, also Spider-Man Spectacular number 1. No idea. I'm assuming it's going to be similar to that giant-sized Spider-Man that just came out, just kind of some file stories or something.
Okay.
Superman 32 and a bombshell. This is the first of the Geoff Johns, John Romita Jr. Supermans. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that tie into the Doom story?
I don't think so. I think this is doing its own thing, which is weird, because I thought they were going to run Doomed, and then maybe this would be spinning out of Doomed.
Yeah.
But no, it just seems now this is just going to be on the side.
While
like,
Doomed is still going on.
Yes.
It seems like, I don't know, I feel like I haven't got a Superman, like, Doomed. Like,
well, we didn't get one this week. Last week was, what, Superman Wonder Woman?
Yeah. But I feel there like they kind of skipped the Superman story and they're just going on to this with Superman.
Well, Superman title is, so I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Trees number 2, that's the Warren Ellis.
Is that book? Groot's book?
That is Groot's book, yes.
Trees.
Yes. Okay, and that's it, but it's a big week. I showed Dan. Dan came in and helped me with the order yesterday to refresh his memory. And we're getting 1,000 more units next week than we got in this week.
Ooh.
And I said, so that's a lot more.
Dan's going to cry.
Dan is going to cry. He's already been warned, luckily. Now I'm just looking. I think this week on the board, I think it was like 21 or 22 titles per column. Mm-hmm. Next week is 31. So look at that board, and I have to fit 10 extra in each column.
Good luck with that.
That's going to be fun tomorrow morning.
You need another, after you need a little board to put above the door.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It would look weird, but you're going to need it.
I told him to get a TV.
Get a TV that just changes.
Absolutely, yeah, because an 8-foot TV should be relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
No one said get an 8-foot TV. See, now that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's how big that space is. What am I going to get? 20 inch?
No. You just get, let's say, like a
44 inch or something. 40, like that.
Yeah, 40 some inch TV, but it'll change every time.
Yeah.
Good idea, Colin.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Okay.
I don't think he likes the idea.
No, I don't think so either.
I'm getting this kind of feel from it.
Okay, kids.
That's a podcast.
That's a podcast. We'll talk at, well, we won't talk at you next week, because unless these guys want to come here and do this.
Well, Dad's not going to keep it open for us.
True.
He's not going to give me a key.
Hell no.
he come back and the place be gone.
Pretty much.
I set off the basement alarm.
Yeah. So, no podcast next week. Then we'll podcast the week after, and I'll regale you with stories from the beach.
Somebody needs to feed him and the goat all those Deadpool wishes.
Hey.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
'Cause came from out the shadows, 'cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The infinity watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes under undercover, duck and pressing the pigs for all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, because you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616. My ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society. About what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, because you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616.
Hey, yo, Vince. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats. Right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will babble these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still on the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Wob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block.
Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this.